Six times in the reading that I just did, just two verses long, one word written six times. Do you remember what it is? Yes? Nope, not that one. Well, receive might be in there that many times, but there's a word. Receive is a good verb, but there's a noun, and it also is used as a verb. Not help. Welcome, very good. And you could look and see the title of the sermon today, right? I think that the repetition, especially of the word welcome, says pay attention to this. So here's a little background on the reading, because it's a short reading, but it comes at the end of a much longer bit that focuses on how to treat missionaries and prophets when they visit and preach. See, the long instructions about the visiting preachers, I think that they're there because it has to do with the poor treatment that many had received in the past. Sometimes a visiting prophet or someone would come in and they were not treated kindly. And so Jesus gives these instructions. Whoever comes in, treat them with kindness and compassion. I also think that the overabundance of the word welcome, it goes beyond how people were to treat visiting preachers. It goes beyond just preachers. It goes to, the heart of welcome. But let's start with that visiting preachers stuff. Because here at Union Congregational Church, we've got this new model, right? We're in part-time ministry, and so I'm not here every week. And so at least one out of every 4 weeks, we've got a visiting preacher coming in. Since switching to the model just recently, we've had two visiting preachers. Dave Bateman was here on May 12th, and Amy Johnson was here last week. And other excellent preachers are going to be here throughout the course of the summer and into the fall. And I want to thank you for welcoming these guest preachers and showing them excellent hospitality. Whatever they needed, you were helpful. And I'm sure that you listened attentively and no one fell asleep, right? I mean, it's okay to fall asleep and take a church nap sometimes. But, you know, when a visiting preacher's here, you probably want to stay awake, right? I would like to ask something else, though. I know that it's summertime, right? It's summertime. People travel. Sometimes folk just like to sleep in on Sunday, right? I know. Sleeping in on Sunday is marvelous. But do remember this. One of the best ways to make a visiting preacher feel welcome here is to show up. Be here to say hello. Be here to hear a message from a different perspective than one that I would bring. Be here to hear new voices. Be here to offer radical hospitality. Be here to welcome. See, Jesus was giving instructions to welcome visiting missionaries, prophets, and preachers. And it was important then that the congregation, that the people gathered were welcoming and present. It's important now. But also remember, in addition to visiting preachers, welcome, just welcome, is essential in all of Jesus' teachings. So we hear from Jesus, welcome the stranger, welcome the poor, welcome the outcast, welcome the immigrant, welcome the powerless, welcome the tired, welcome the lost, welcome the children, welcome everyone. That's essential in Jesus' teaching. And I think that this welcome, it has to go beyond like our congregational greeting time. That's great. That is a great welcome when we go around and talk to one another. But it has to go beyond that. It has to go beyond even our coffee hour where we sit and chat, sometimes around a table, and include everyone. See, welcome is about inviting folks to be part of the community. Welcome is about caring enough to have a longer conversation. Welcome is about getting together for coffee or helping out cut someone's lawn. Welcome is about giving and receiving blessings. It's more than just a Sunday morning thing. It's more than just a few things on a Sunday morning. Welcome is part of a way of life that brings people into a community and lets them know that they are precious, that they are wanted, that they are not they, that we are us. Welcome is about a transition from feeling like an outsider to feeling like part of the family. Last week, when I wasn't here, the week prior to that, I had spent the week co-directing volunteer work camp at Tower Hill Camp and Conference Center in Sawyer, Michigan. It's the camp that the Illinois Conference of the UCC owns. We've got one in Princeton, too, but it's in Michigan, but we own the Michigan camp right next to Warren Dunes State Park. As a matter of fact, the beach that we swim at while we're there is, who's been to Warren Dunes before? You've been to Warren Dunes, and you're on the dunes. There's a little river that kind of comes out as you're walking down the beach. Right on the other side of the river, that's the beach for Tower Hill. It says, you know, big words, private beach, and it's still just lakefront there. But anyway, we were there, and it was a camp that was about work, and we did work. We did a city beautification project in Benton Harbor, Michigan, and Benton Harbor is going through some extremely hard times. The emergency management team from Michigan has taken over the city of Benton Harbor, so none of the aldermen or none of the city managers, the mayor, anything like that in Benton Harbor really have any say in what happens at present. There's an emergency manager in there, but through this whole process, they are taking the city park that was really just brown grass and overgrown weeds and stuff that wasn't repaired. And while we were there, two different groups, our group and another group, did mulching and planting and cleaning up and weeding and made the city park look like something beautiful. We worked at a shelter for women, someplace that this particular camp that I've been to several times has worked on. And each year, things are a little bit better because it takes longer for stuff to get worse, I guess you can say, as we do some cleaning up. And so we were at Polly's place. And we worked for a hospice agency in Benton Harbor. A woman had died and didn't have any family except for really the hospice agency who had made her part of the family, and there was the what to do with the estate, and so we had a group that went in there and helped set up an estate sale and organize tables and put stuff there and price things and everything. And then we also worked all over Tower Hill Camp. That's the camp we were staying, and camps always need a lot of work. And so we were doing stuff. We were digging a drainage ditch around a tennis court because it always floods, and we were taking out an old garden that had gotten overgrown, and there were railroad ties that were rotted, and so we took those out and made that clear, and then but they're going to do more work on that. We painted picnic tables, just all kinds of things that helped beautify the camp where we were staying. We also did camp stuff. We swam. We had campfires, games, and I played guitar, and we sang lots of songs. I love that part because I like to play guitar. You probably have noticed that. But we grew much closer to God during our daily devotion time. And there was a particular time where it was like, this is devotion time, but the whole day was kind of wrapped around these themes. We focused on a song from the band Jars of Clay called Small Rebellions. Each day we thought about, talked about, and tried to live out something from the song. So different themes that we talked about. One was small rebellions. Another was hearts in every form still matter, push against the current, senseless, brutal acts of kindness. I loved that phrase. And we will never walk alone again. So for small rebellions, that's sort of a go against the flow idea, but more than that, small rebellions for good, like going to camp for work, giving up a week of your summer to work and not do something necessarily fun, like seeking ways to make a difference, like finding ways to offer welcome when turning away seems so much easier. Then we are hearts and arms that reach, like reaching out to one another in love instead of finding ways to argue. We have already entered the political not love season, haven't we? And boy, I tell you, the way to get elected is not to show love for your opponent, is it? But in our church, in our community, this community of welcome, we are hearts and arms that reach. And we can welcome even when it's so much easier to fight and to argue. Hearts in every form still matter. We talked about really, the simplest of things. God loves everyone, no exceptions. There isn't an exception to that. There is no one that God doesn't love. Push against the current. That has a Martin Luther King kind of a push to it. as in, it's similar to the small rebellions theme, but we talked about issues that we're willing to stand for, things that we're willing to go out on a limb for, ideas that we're willing to step way out of our comfort zone for. We thought about those issues, and we didn't define them for the kids. We just said, think about the things that you're willing to stand up for, show up for. What's important to you? What kinds of things do you dedicate your life to? And then senseless, brutal acts of kindness. Those two things don't go together. You know, senseless and brutal don't go with acts of kindness. But when you hear it, you start thinking, oh my goodness, there's something to this. It brought up the most discussion, and I think it hit home the most. The word senseless and brutal, of course, they are at odds with acts of kindness. And because we always see them connected with violence and hate, well, they are connected with violence and hate. But senseless, brutal acts of kindness are acts of kindness that go beyond a smile or opening a door for someone or giving a warm handshake and greeting them, right? Senseless, brutal acts of kindness. It's doing kindness beyond what is simple. It's doing kindness that invites someone to be part of the community. And often, senseless, brutal acts of kindness are difficult to do because you just don't want to do that. You don't want to be nice to that person. You don't want to help that person. They've done wrong to you. You don't agree with everything that they stand for or anything that they stand for. A senseless, brutal act of kindness is, I'm going to be kind to the people that I don't think deserve my kindness, and I'm going to help people that I don't think deserve my help, and I'm going to be kind and helpful and compassionate, even when it is so, so hard to do it. And then we will never walk alone again. We began the week as campers, as strangers. Some people knew each other, but as a group, we were strangers. In just a few short days, we did become a community. We worked hard, we played, we grew closer to God and to one another. We truly experienced God's unconditional love and we built relationships. Every person there, every person here at our church needs to sense God's unconditional love. Every visiting preacher has an important message to share. Every person here or anywhere needs to be in relationship, don't they? And every person is someone whom God cares for, someone whom God has blessed. Every person has a gift to share, right? Every person. Every person matters. Yep, you have a gift to share. He said me too, I know it wasn't to me, but it was perfect timing. And Jesus calls us, knowing all these things, Jesus calls us to invite. Jesus calls us to show up. Jesus calls us to be generous. Jesus calls us to love. We learned today, Jesus calls us to welcome. Amen.